You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. I don't know if your day has been like mine so far, but mine's been an adventure. So we're going to just thank the Lord that we are here and that He does all things well. And man, if you or anyone you know is ever under the delusion that they are God, I think we could just take a little closer scrutiny at their life and we could demonstrate that they are not. But we do very much need God. I remember hearing someone who had had a conversation or was with in an environment where someone claimed to be God. And if you're claiming to be God, you'd better be perfect. And this person said their argument didn't last 30 seconds because they obviously were not perfect. It was evident that they were not perfect before they ever said a word. And so thank God that He is perfect. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We're going to be studying the Word of God tonight. We're going to be studying the book of Exodus. And want to invite you out to be a part of that study. I don't just want to take people through portions of the Bible so we can say, hey, look at this adventure we went on. No, that's not what I like to do. I like to take people on journeys through the Word of God that is going to change them, change me, change us, change our church, change our community. That's what I like to do. So with that being said, we'd like to invite you along the journey with us as we dive into the Word of God and see what areas God can improve in our lives. And that happens tonight, 7 p.m. We are not doing a study guide for this. We are, my wife and I provided books for our congregation out of our own funds. We wanted to bless our congregation with that, and so we did. And we're studying a book called Exiting Egypt by Julie West, and you can go back and listen to a couple of programs. It was a Tuesday and Wednesday back towards the end of January sometime, and find out a little bit about the book. But it really is a deep dive into the life of Moses, the life of Pharaoh, the children of Israel, and what all God did there. So like to invite you out for that. We have a kids class tonight, 7 p.m. as well. We also have a young adults class that goes up to age 25. We've got that class that meets. And then tomorrow night we have youth, and I believe that they've shifted the starting date of that, or the starting time of that, to 6:30. And so, it's over by 7:30, for seventh graders through 12th graders, 12-year-olds to 18-year-olds. So anyway, that's what's going on. My Island Youth tomorrow night, 165 North Grove Street. So, today we are going to start a passage. It's in the book of Psalms. It is Psalm 90, and I will read the verse to you that brought us to this passage. But there's some valuable truths. This is a song of Moses, and a prayer of Moses. And so as we go through this, I want you to remember that Moses had a relationship with God that was pretty much unparalleled by anybody in his time. And so when he speaks, he speaks as someone who knows what he's talking about. So let me just read the verse first. It's Psalm 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, exclamation point. How long? And have compassion on your servants. And if you remember our theme that we are diving into right now and going through the Word of God is that God is a God of love. Therefore, as his disciples, we should be people who love like God, who are benefited by the love of God, but we are also practitioners of the love of God. And so that's what's brought us to this passage. So I want to read verses 10 through 17. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? As the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to the children, to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So Moses begins to set the expectation here. Now, remember, he was 80 when he went back to Egypt. And then he spends 40 years leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. But he sets the expectation mark at 70 years. And I literally know of a person that once they hit 70, that was, they had hit their expectation mark. I'm here to tell you, I'm not that far away from that mark, but there is nothing inside of me that is screaming, hey, I'm close to being done yet. And again, this is Moses, who lived to be 120. He says, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, so he's talking about if you live a long life, you're 80 years. Well, I've got plenty of family members that have lived well beyond that, and so I'm not interested in living just for the longevity of it, unless there's purpose, and unless I'm able to advance the kingdom of God. So as long as I am productive for Jesus, then that's what I want to be. So he describes the length of our lives. He says, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. So anything that we have to look forward to that this world has to offer on its own is just hard work and emotional expense. That's what Moses saw, and if you heard all of the millions of people that he was leading groaning and moaning and complaining, you could understand that he could see that, man, this is a hard place to live. Even with all of the remarkable things that he had seen, he says, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And so even if he lived to be 120, which he did, he says that's just a drop in the bucket. It's just like a vapor. And he said, I feel like I just got started and now it's getting ready to be over. And so there's verse number 12 ties in with verse number 10, but there's a bridge. There is something that connects the length of our lives and the hardship of our lives with what it says in verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So what is it that connects those two thoughts? It's verse number 11, and it is a verse that really is a captivating verse for me. It's a sobering verse, especially when you recognize that it came by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Moses. And when you hear this verse, if you can still be flippant about a relationship with God, then you're much different than I am, because this is a very sobering thought. In fact, it's so sobering that there are some theologians that want to discount this and just say, oh, just don't deal with that. And I'm not that type of guy. So we're going to talk about it here on the radio program. Who knows the power of your anger? Now, I've seen some people get angry before, and I've reached a point of anger, and here I'm talking about an emotional human reaction. Many times people use the ungodly reference points of the human experience, and when an attribute is assigned to God, they try and understand that God is exhibiting the same thing as what they're talking about, and that's not it at all. God never sins in his anger. His anger is always justified. And if his anger is expressed, it's always done in justice. It's not my feelings are hurt. It is I've extended the invitation for forgiveness and grace and mercy, and you have hardened your heart. You've chosen rebellion against me, and I need you to know that I am God. I need people around you to know that I am God. And the righteous indignation of God, it can cleanse a temple. The righteous indignation of God can bring down a nation. You see, God is holy, and he doesn't tolerate sin in his presence. In fact, Jesus said, you know, hey, if one of these people causes a little one to sin, it would be better for them that a millstone was wrapped around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. You don't want to be guilty of damaging one of these little children. So anyone who targets kids is in a very dangerous place. I think that they need to repent as soon as possible. That's what I can say. You don't go around hurting kids. We have safeguards in place at our church to protect our kids, and do background checks on everybody, including myself. I mean, we do them frequently just to make sure that there's no one that could harm one of these kids. And so people get so fixated on the concept that God is love that they don't realize that he is also perfect in his expression of anger. This is the statement that is extremely sobering. For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. And so in English, we would call that a simile, where it says, just as this thing is real, then this statement is equivalent. It's the same. It's similar. And the two factors here in this simile, or in this word equation, if you want to put it that way, is the fear of God, or the reverence, or the awe of God. And that is an honorable relationship. It is an honorable attribute. It's not to be, oh, I'm terrified of God, that I would never approach him. It's not like that at all. It means that we revere him, we're in awe of him, and we are going to treat him with the honor, the glory, the respect that is due his name. So the first thing I need to ask you is, how much reverence is God worthy of? Not in your eyes, not in my eyes, in his eyes. How much reverence is due his name because of how holy he is, the fact that he is our creator, our sustainer, the lover of our souls? He is holiness personified. He is love personified. He is glorious beyond description. How much worship? Listen, when all of heaven for all of eternity is constantly worshiping God and declaring that he is holy and that he is worthy, I'm just trying to get the point across that the amount of honor he is due is not like the honor of a person of position here, where people here in our modern day, if I don't like someone, I'm not going to show him any honor. I'll dishonor him and all of that sort of stuff. That's not, God is worthy of reverence. Even if we do not agree, if we haven't come into alignment, if we haven't put our faith and trust, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our belief in him does not change the reality that he is holy, 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 and he is worthy of all glory and honor and power and praise. So establish that on the one side of this word equation. And you could try and balance the equation with anything you want, but this is what the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to say. Because of how worthy he is, in order for you to gain understanding, it says, so is God's wrath. Now, when I was growing up, I was the compliant child. I did not like getting in trouble. I was allergic to pain. And so I wanted to do everything my parents told me to do. And the few times that I didn't, I learned very quickly that I wanted to adjust my course. I didn't like getting in trouble. I don't like getting in trouble now. One of the goals of my life is to not be on the news for any of the wrong reasons. I don't ever want to be in a disciplinary hearing. I want to be the person that does the right thing, because I don't like getting in trouble. Some people, now if I'm getting in trouble for doing the right thing, then that's an entirely different matter. I'm talking about, I don't like getting in trouble for doing the wrong thing. I don't like people when they get mad at me, any of that sort of stuff. Again, that's human reaction. We're talking about God, who is perfect in his expression of wrath. And he says, as great as the reverence that is due is your name, that's the degree of wrath that God has. He's worthy of all glory and all honor all of the time. And in that position of holiness and worthiness, he also sits with this immeasurable dispensation of his justice, where if you have rejected Jesus Christ, if you have persecuted his bride, you find yourself in a very uncomfortable and definitely not an enviable situation. So the church is called the bride of Christ. And I can tell you that throughout my life, I've had four rules. If you ever want to see my dispensation, I'm normally a happy-go-lucky guy. You know, if you ever want to see that change very quickly, all you had to do was one of four things. And the first one was mess with my wife. Second was mess with my kids. Third was mess with the church. And the fourth was mess with my pastor. I want to be there and, you know, pray for and support my pastor, and have done so. So anybody where I had some level of covering that I was supposed to provide, if someone came in and started attacking any of those entities, then I was going to step up and say, we're going to change this course of action, and we're going to do it right now. So I've made that statement through the years. Now I want to ask you this question. How do you think Jesus will respond to people who abuse his bride? Some of those abuses come externally. Some of them, because there are wolves that infiltrate the body of Christ, and they're doing damage to the body of Christ internally. I wouldn't want to be either one of them. And so if you happen to be listening to this program and you don't think there's ever going to be a degree of accountability, if there's never going to be vengeance, you need to read the book of Revelation to see that there is a day that is coming where every prayer of every saint, of every martyr that has ever been cried out, that all of those prayers are being stored up, and there's coming a day when God in his perfect justice and his perfect righteousness is going to say, we are going to set the record straight. Now, what I'm not trying to do today is scare you into a relationship with God. What I am telling you is that God wants to have a relationship with you where we behold him in his worthiness, in his glory. And because of that, we move on to verse number 12. Teach us to number our days. I made this statement to someone. I don't remember where it was. And I'm getting ready to have a semi-milestone birthday. It means that because I've hit a certain number that I'll be eligible for, I'm supposedly going to be eligible for some small degree of pension from my retail days. And that's still yet to be seen. I haven't made that phone call yet. Still waiting for a few more days to click off on the calendar before I can do a government required thing with my insurance. So I'll be eligible for certain benefits that I've never been eligible for. And I as I approached this, I was like, I don't know how I got to be this age this fast. in one hand, it seems like it's been a long time. In another hand, it seems like it has just been a very short season. And we need to heed Moses' advice under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and say, God, we need to live a life of such reverence that it causes us to number our days. And I've got something written down here. This word number our days means to count or to reckon or to apportion them. Okay? So there are certain things that I can no longer apportion my life for those things. Those are past seasons. Because God is living in my heart, because now I every day is a gift from God. And we need to say, God, how can I bring glory and honor to your name today? And here's what happens. When God teaches us to number our days, the result is we gain a heart of wisdom. That's the purpose of knowing the power of his anger, for the fear of God is as great as God's wrath. The purpose of that is so that we live a life of wisdom from our heart. And, you know, Jesus stood over Jerusalem and he wept because they hadn't realized the day of their visitation. I don't want to stand before God and myself weep because I didn't understand the days that God had gifted to me. I didn't understand the season or anything like that. I want to gain a heart of wisdom. I want to finish my race with greater wisdom from heaven than I started with. And as much wisdom as is possible, that's what I want to need, want to have. I want to finish strong. I want to finish in faith. I want to finish in love. And I want to finish in wisdom. I think the gift of wisdom from heaven would be a gift that our current society would really be thankful to God for, if the church in Brevard County said, you know what, we're going to operate in the wisdom of heaven. I believe it would be like a jewel. It would be like a treasure that people who've partaken of the wisdom of this world, when they see the wisdom of heaven, they say, I need that in my life. So I pray today that you'll worship God because he is most certainly worthy. You'll number your days right, and you'll gain a heart of wisdom that'll change the way you live. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Wanna miss it.